We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, so if you would turn with me in your Bibles, that would be very helpful. Ephesians chapter 2, and big thanks to Josh for kicking off Ephesians chapter 2 a couple weeks ago, and he preached through the first several verses of this chapter. And one of the things you may have noticed is second chapter of Ephesians, it starts off in a very dark note. It starts off with the words, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." That's a pretty bad place to begin, right? And he goes on to say how we were obedient to the devil. We were subject to God's anger. Like, he paints a very dark picture and makes it clear that before Christ, we were hopelessly lost. We were in desperate need of a Savior. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. And he goes on in the verses after that to talk with us about God's grace and God's love and how Jesus came to this earth and sacrificed himself to offer us forgiveness and freedom and new life. It's a gift we could never deserve, but all of us are invited to receive. So after he describes that, he jumps into verse 10, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're just going to focus on this one verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Here's what it says: "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." I'm going to say it one more time. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This verse talks to us about two very important things: your identity and your calling. Your identity is that you are God's masterpiece. Your calling is the good things he planned for you to do. The first describes who we are. The second describes what we do. The first reminds us of our value. The second reminds us of our mission. The first tells us how God sees us. The second tells us how God uses us. The first is a reminder of the impact of God's grace on us. The second is the impact of our gifts on the world around us. When you became a believer, when you became a follower of Christ, you had a new identity and you were given a brand new calling. Both of these matter, and it's important for us to understand and walk in the truth of both of them. So let's start by talking about our identity. He says we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So let me just start with this. God created you. It's important to understand that God created you. That's the first thing you need to understand. See, this idea that we are here by chance is the biggest hoax in history. The idea that we are nothing more than a random mix of chemicals, that we are nothing more than a bunch of chemicals that came together through some undirected process, just randomly happened, the idea that there is no creator, that's a lie, and it's one that far too many people have bought into. And that's an important issue for us to understand, because if we're here by chance, then life has no purpose. There's no meaning in life. Even atheists understand this. Well-known atheist Bertrand Russell said this: "Unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant." He's absolutely right. If there is no God, then you and I are nothing more than an accident of nature. Then we're nothing more than just a physical body that has some limited awareness, and that awareness is temporary. At some day, it's going to all come to a screeching halt. Life is over. There's no future. And because of that, there's no purpose. There's no value. There's no meaning to life. So I want to begin by addressing that issue and say very emphatically, you were created by God. And that means your life has significance, has value, and it has purpose. Years ago, I used to have this hobby of putting together model cars. How many of you have done this? Okay. So if you've done this, you know, when you open the box, you get something that looks like this, right? All these pieces of plastic that are stuck together, and you have to do a lot of work. Like, there's hundreds of pieces. You got to take an X-Acto knife, cut them apart, kind of trim down the edges, make sure everything's going to fit together correctly. You've got to paint it. You've got to glue it together, and you got to glue it together correctly so everything fits where it's supposed to fit, right? And it's a process. It's enjoyable, but there's a long process and a lot of work that goes into it. And if you do it right, the end result looks something like this. Now, none of you would look at that, model car sitting there, that Corvette, none of you would look at that and say, "Well, I know what happened here. I know exactly how he did that. He had those plastic pieces in the box. He put a knife inside the box, put some paint inside the box, put some glue inside the box, closed it up, shook it up, dumped it out on the table, and that's what came out." Like, nobody would believe that, right? That's ridiculous. But we're supposed to believe that's how we came into existence. Like, you look at that and you say, okay, clearly somebody put that together. Somebody meant for that to happen. There was some, yes, limited intelligence behind putting this model together, right? You understand that. This was put together by design. There were steps that I had to follow to create that. Now, the same thing is true for you and for me. Your body is made up of cells, billions of them. Every one of those cells is made up of protein molecules, all arranged in a specific order. And each one of those protein molecules is made up of amino acids, all arranged in a specific order. And all of it has to be placed together correctly for life to occur. So the question is, how many cells are in the human body? The answer is we don't really know for sure, but we do know this. The cerebral cortex, which is the outer layer of the brain, just that has over 10 billion cells, over 10 billion, all arranged just correctly for it to function the way that it should. Now, some mathematicians who are much smarter than I'll ever be sat down and they figured out what are the probabilities of something like this happening. So they started with an organism made up of just 100 cells, okay? So what are the odds of an organism made up of just 100 cells just springing into existence on its own and everything fits together perfectly the way that it should? Here's what they came up with. The odds of that happening is 1 chance out of 10 to the 158th power. That's a 10 with 158 zeros behind it. In other words, an organism with just 100 cells, there are that many possible combinations. Only one of them will work for life to happen. And we are told that believing that happened is scientific. That's just 100. Imagine something that is created that has billions upon billions of cells. We are told to believe that that's rational, to believe that that happened. So here's what evolution says. Evolution says in an unknown time, in an unknown place, under an unknown atmosphere, in an unknown liquid, some unknown chemicals, all of which came from who knows where, came together in an unknown process and somehow created some unknown life forms, and that's how life began. And this is called science. Now, we could go with that, or we could step out on a limb and go with the crazy notion that design points to a designer. That somebody put this together. That somebody actually created us. And he did so with intentionality and purpose. And I choose to believe that. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
Amen.
If God created you, he did so for a reason. He did so because he values you and he has a purpose for your life. See, God doesn't do things just randomly. God doesn't do things recklessly. He doesn't do things purposelessly. God is very purposeful in what he does. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And the fact that you exist means you have a purpose. You have significance and your life has value. Let's backtrack a few verses to chapter 1, verse 4. We talked about this a while back, but I like the Message paraphrase. He says this, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Think about that. There's a whole lot in there. Let me just hone in on this one part. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Do you realize God put more thought into you than he put into the rest of his creation? God thought about you before he thought about and planned the rest of his creation. You are more valuable to him than the rest of his creation. As the Bible describes the days of creation, it says things like, God said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. Let there be animals, boom, there's animals. When it comes to God creating Adam and Eve, though, it says God fashioned them. God, with his hands, created them. Not with his words, but with his hands, and breathed the breath of life into us. You and I are valuable to God. We are separate and distinct from the rest of his creation. And he says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. God thought of you before any other part of his creation. Think about this. All the things in creation that amaze us, the things in creation that we look at that inspire us or that make us like the first time we saw the Grand Canyon. You've seen pictures of it, I'm sure. The pictures don't do it justice. The first time you walk up that little rise and you see it for the first time, it is literally breathtaking. It's just massive. It's incredible. And as the sun rises and as the sun sets, you just see all these different colors changing and shifting. It's amazing. We've all seen things like that in creation, right? Maybe it's a beautiful sunrise or sunset, or you sit outside and you watch this powerful thunderstorm rolling through and you just see, wow, how massive and powerful that is. We see all these things in God's creation that are overwhelming and incredible to us. Do you understand? God paid nothing for those things. They didn't cost him anything. The only part of God's creation he ever paid a price for was you and me. And he paid the highest price imaginable. And he did it willingly. He did it eagerly. Why? Because he loves you. That tells me God places high value on you. You matter to him. You were not born by chance. You are not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You exist because God wanted you here on this planet. Psalm 139 is a great passage where David talks about the intricacy of the human body and how God fashioned us and formed us and put us together. Just focus on this one verse here. He says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." That's how much you matter to God. He knew your life before you even took a single breath. Before you were even born, God knew you. He shaped you. He put you together. Your life matters to him. Even the details of your life matter to him. One of the weirdest verses in the entire Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus says, "The very hairs of your head are numbered." Why? You ever wonder that? Like, why does God know that? Like, that just seems like a random piece of information, doesn't it? Doesn't God have bigger things to worry about than how many hairs are on my head? And I'm saving him some time these days because there's a lot fewer than there used to be. So just think about this. Because I used to look at that and I'd say, okay, why does God care about that? Like, I don't know what the number is. I don't care what the number is. I never think about it. I don't lay awake worrying about it. It doesn't really matter to me. Why does it matter to God? The fact that God knows that about me and about you, here's what that tells me. If God knows something about me I never think about, never worry about, don't care about, then God must also know the things about me that I think about a lot. The stuff I stress and worry about. The stuff that keeps me up at night. If God knows the tiny little details in my life, he knows the big stuff in my life too. The stuff that really matters and is of great significance to me. Here's the other thing about that. True or false, if you look at your hairbrush, you'll notice that the number of hairs in your head is changing all the time, right? If God knows at any given moment the number of hairs on your head, that tells me he's watching our lives very closely. He didn't just plop us down here and say, okay, go ahead and evolve and exist. No, he's involved in our everyday lives. He watches us. He is interested in what is happening, even the tiniest little details of your life and my life. That tells me that you matter to him. But it goes even further than that. Not only did God create you, not only does God love you, not only does God have a plan and a purpose for your life, but God's purposes for you, they're eternal. They are lasting. See, our time on this earth is limited, but our time on this earth is not the totality of our lives. This time that we have on this earth, this is just the first lap around the track. God's plans and God's purposes for you, they do not end when you die. Your body will stop beating. That will be the end of your heart will stop beating. That'll be the end of your body, but it's not the end of you because you will live eternity in one of two places. You are far more than just a body. You were created to last forever. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:1. He says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down." Think about the term he uses here. He says, this body, it's like a tent that we live in. In other words, I am not my physical body. I exist inside my physical body. He says, that is when we die and leave this earthly body. In other words, there's a me inside of here that is going to vacate this body at some point in time, but I will continue to live forever somewhere else. You understand what he's saying? He says, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. This life is not all that there is. And that's important for us to understand. Because if you think this life is all there is, you're going to waste your life. If you think all there is what is right here and right now, you're just going to spend your time doing things that matter right here and right now, and that's it. And that is a wasted life. The truth is you're going to spend far more time on the other side of death than you will on this side. On this side, you may live 80, 90, 100 years. That's not a drop in the bucket. That's a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. Let me give you this illustration. Let's say you stretched a line across the Atlantic Ocean from New York to Dakar. That's about 2,000 miles. The very first millimeter, let's say that that line represents eternity. The very first millimeter of that 2,000 miles, that's too big even to represent this, the comparison of our time on this earth compared to what eternity looks like. The first millimeter, that's our life here. That 2,000 miles, that's eternity. And even that doesn't fully explain the difference between this time that we have right here and right now compared to what eternity is going to be. Understand, you were created for eternity. Think about that. God loves you so much, He wants you with Him forever. I've shared this numerous times before. When I asked Sheila to marry me, in the midst of stumbling over my words and not quite getting things out the way that I should have, and actually dropping the ring at one point and having to try to find where I dropped it, in the middle of all of that, one of the things that I finally was able to say to her was, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Now, why did I say that? Because I love her. I love her deeply. I value her greatly, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. I love spending time with her. She's valuable to me. You know what God says to you and to me? God says, I love you so much. I want to spend your time on this earth with you, but I also want to spend eternity with you. That's how much you matter to Him. You are significant to Him. And that's why Paul says you are God's masterpiece. Think of that word. Not just you're His creation, you are that too, yes, but you are His masterpiece. What's a masterpiece? A masterpiece is something you invest yourself in. It's not something you just throw together and forget about it. It's not something you're careless about. You put your best into it. It matters to you. You pour your passion, your heart, your creativity into it. Your masterpiece is that thing that you want to shine a light on. You want everybody to see and say, look at what I did. Look at what I created. And God says to you, you are my masterpiece. That's amazing. That's how much you matter to Him. And it's important for us to understand this first, that you have value to God, no matter what you're capable of doing or what you are not capable of doing. Because your value to God does not depend on your calling. Your calling flows out of your value, not the other way around. So let's talk about that calling. He says that God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. It's important to understand God not only saved you from something, God also saved you for something. God saved you to be with Him for eternity, and He also saved you to accomplish something right here and right now that is significant and that will last through eternity. A couple weeks ago, Josh talked about God's grace for us, the love that God has shown us in offering us forgiveness, in offering us salvation. That is huge. That is an amazing gift that God offers us. But then when we come to this verse, in verse 10, Paul says, all of that, that's incredible and it's amazing, but there's more to it than that. That's not the whole story, because there's something right here and right now that we are created to be and to do. So I want to just zoom in on a couple of key words here. First of all, when he says, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. That word do, it means to walk in something. That's literally what that word means, to walk in. In other words, it's something that is a way of life. He's telling us that ministry isn't just something that we tack on to our lives. It's not just something that we do in our spare time when we have a few spare minutes. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living our lives. It's what we invest our lives in. In other words, it's not just a thing of when I get a few moments, okay, then I'll serve God. Then I'll do what God wants me to do. If my life ever slows down and I have some spare time, then I'll do that. No, it's an every single day thing. It's starting the day and saying, okay, God, here I am. I give myself to You. How can I serve You today? These hands are Your hands. These feet are Your feet. My voice, Lord, is Your voice. My mind, I give it to You. God, how do You want to use me today? I place myself in Your hands. Use me today to fulfill Your purposes. What are the good things You want to accomplish through me today? I give myself over to You for that purpose. That's what He's talking about here. When He says to do the good things, He's talking about walking that out as a way of life. And He says there are things that God planned for you long ago. Just as God thought of you and purposed you and planned you long before the world began, in the same way, long before your life began, God had things planned for you to accomplish, a purpose for you to invest your life in. Do you realize this? That God has specific works, specific things, a specific mission that He planned specifically for you and called you and equipped you to accomplish. Now that raises a really important question, and the question is this: what are you investing your life in? Your time, your money, your energy, your passion? What are you investing your life in? Is it valuable? Is it something that's going to last? Is what you're investing your life in right now, is it one of those things that, will it still matter 100 years from now? How about 10,000 years from now? How about 100 million years from now? See, that's what God invites us into. He invites us to invest our lives in something that's not just going to matter for a few moments or a few hours or a few years. God invites us to invest our lives in things that are going to matter for eternity. That's how significant you are, and that's the significance of the impact He wants you to have on those around you. And we're going to talk more about this in a while when we get to Ephesians chapter 4 and spiritual gifts, but I just want to simply say this. God has some things He would like you to do, some things He would like you to accomplish. Now, some of that might be here in the church. And for that purpose, I put back there on the information center, there's a paper that looks like this, and it's got a list of ministry opportunities. We have a lot of different ministries in this church, and the reason they function is because people invest in doing those things. People invest in those ministries to make sure those things happen. And I just want to encourage you, if you're involved in a ministry, thank you. We appreciate it. If you're not involved in a ministry, I encourage you to get involved in one. God gave you gifts, and God brought you here, and He did all of that for a reason, because He wants to use you to help this body of believers grow in His purposes and fulfill what He placed us here to accomplish. So if you're not involved, I encourage you to find a place and get involved. So some of that, some of those good things God planned for you long ago, some of those happened here in this church. Some of those happened in your place of work or in your school. Some of them happen in your home, in your neighborhood. The point is this: God has not only saved you, God has also called you and equipped you to accomplish things that will last beyond your time on this earth, things that will have an eternal value and an eternal impact. Now, the other word I want to focus on here is, notice He says the good things He planned for us long ago. The good things that He planned for us. It's a reminder that we are called not just to do good things, but specifically to do the good things that God Himself chose and planned and purposed for us. See, here's what I mean by that. We can all come up with some good things to do. We can all come up with some good ideas and good causes and good things to say, yeah, I could do that and I could do this and I could pour my life into this. Here's the question. If those things that we're doing, it maybe they're good in the world's eyes, maybe they're good in our eyes, but if they're not the things that God Himself planned for us, then at best they are a distraction, because they're pulling us away from investing our lives fully in the things God Himself planned and prepared for us to accomplish for His purposes. So the question people usually ask then is, okay, so how do I know? Now, God has some things He wants me to do. I don't know what those things are. How am I supposed to know this? How do I figure this out? How do I know what those good things are? Well, here's how. If you want to know your purpose, you've got to ask the One who created you and created that purpose. You've got to spend some time in His presence, talking with Him and listening for His voice to find out, God, what are You saying to me? How do You want to use me? What are You calling me to do? You're not going to find the answer through social media influencers or self-help gurus. You're not going to find it in this society in which we live. Our society can't even figure out the meaning of words like marriage and woman. You think they have any clue what the meaning of life is? You want to trust them with your purpose in life? Don't do it. They're going to mislead you. That is their intention, and that's their purpose, is to mislead us. So I just want to encourage you, understand this. You have a Creator who loves you. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. He wants you to do things here and now that will have significance throughout eternity. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He created good things for you to accomplish. He invites us to pray, and He says, if you lack wisdom, come and ask me, and I'll give you wisdom. So I'm encouraging you, if you don't know what those things are, spend some time with him. Ask him and listen, and he will show you. He will show you. So I want to close in prayer, and I want to give an invitation in three different areas, because there's a few different things we talked about, and I feel like I need to give an opportunity for response in all three. First of all, we talked earlier about eternity, the fact that you and I will spend eternity somewhere. It's one of the reasons we talk about salvation and what Jesus did for us on the cross. This is so important because every single one of us will spend eternity in one of two places. And our destination does not depend on whether or not we attend in church. Our destination doesn't depend on us trying to be a good person or trying to live up to some moral code. It doesn't. Our destination depends on one thing, how we responded to Jesus. Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died a brutal death, and on the third day, miraculously, he walked out of that tomb alive forevermore. And the Bible tells us very clearly the reason Jesus did that was to pay a price. As he hung suffering and dying on the cross, the Bible says God placed on him the iniquity, the sin of all of us. And so as he was suffering, what was he doing? He was taking upon himself the penalty that I deserve, the penalty that you deserve for the sins we've committed. And he did it so we wouldn't have to pay that price. He did it so he could offer us new life and forgiveness and the hope of heaven and an inheritance awaiting us in his presence. That's why he did it. We can never deserve it. We cannot earn it, but we can receive it because it's a gift he offers us. And the most important decision you will ever make in this life is whether or not to receive that gift. And there may be some of you here today who need to do that today. Here's the second area of invitation. Some of you are struggling today because you believe your life is meaningless. Because of the words or actions of others, you see yourself as worthless. You've been told that you're a failure. You've been told that you're a nobody. You've been told, well, you did these things in the past, and that's just who you are, and that's who you're always going to be, and you're never going to change. It's never going to give. You're never going to accomplish anything. You've been told that. Somebody put a label on you, and I'm telling you right now, that label is a lie. But you believed it because of the person that put that label on you. The problem with labels is we tend to live up to them. If we believe what somebody says about us, then our lives will reflect what we believe about ourselves. This explains many of the bad decisions we make, many of the messes that we create in our lives. And for some of you today, you're embracing that label. You're embracing an identity that is false. God wants to lift that label off of you and put a new label on you that says this: you are my masterpiece. Please don't hear that in my voice. Hear that in his voice. Hear him saying to you, you are my masterpiece. Your life matters to me. I love you. You are valuable to me. In fact, you're worth dying for. And I want to spend eternity with you. That's the value God places on you. And some of you today, you need to receive that and you need to embrace that and break free from the labels that others have put on you. And here's the third one with the accompanying music. The third one is this, on the issue of purpose. There's some of you here today that you have no idea what that purpose is. And you need to spend some time in God's presence, seeking him, asking and listening for what he has to say, because he has an answer to that question, I promise you. But I believe that there are also some of you today, you know what that purpose is. God put that passion in your heart. God put that calling in your heart, and you know exactly what it is. But you've allowed other things to become more important. And that purpose has been pushed aside. That purpose has gone underground because other things have become more important to you. And today's the day to say no more. Today's the day to say, God, I'm going to invest my life in what you've called me to do. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to live my life for eternity because that is what matters. So I'm going to lead in prayer. And I'm just going to ask for this response just for you to stand where you are. If either of these hits home with where you are, if you're here today and you've never received that gift of salvation and you say, today's the day, by faith I'm going to receive that gift of salvation, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right where you are. For some of you, that issue of identity, that's a challenge for you. That's been an issue for you. You feel like less than you actually are because of lies that have been told to you. And today you need those chains to come off of you, and you need to be free of that and embrace the new identity that Jesus died to give you. If that's where you are, just stand to your feet right now. For some of you, the issue is the one of calling and purpose. Some of you are thoroughly confused. You have no idea. What did God call me to do? What is that purpose He has for me? I need to know. For some of you, you know it, but you've pushed it aside for other things. And today's the day to change that, to repent of that, and to embrace His purpose for you. If either of those describes where you are today, would you just stand to your feet right now? I'm going to lead in prayer. I feel like there should be more people standing right now. I'm going to lead in prayer. And then I'm just going to ask for everybody look around, see the people who are standing. These are people who need us to pray for them. So after I pray, the rest of you are the prayer team. If you have to leave, I understand. But I'm going to invite all of us just to gather around these individuals who are standing and to pray together for them. Okay? So, Father, I want to thank you today for your amazing love for us.